D&D Dungeons Academy, written by Madeline Rule, No Humans Allowed, illustrated by Tim Probert. Chapter 7. Horn Tree Village. The solemn, winding path led steadily upward through a thickening of twisted corpse-like trees, past piles of bones, picked clean by the watchful ravens in the branches above. Moonlight spread through the canopy, though they walked mostly in darkness. Bobble back in Hugo's pack, all of them deciding against the lantern and the attention the light might bring. The smell of burning reached them long before the path widened into a sparsely cobbled road, long before they traveled beneath a spindly arch with the Horn Tree Village sign swinging sadly at its center. Damage, the name hanging by a single hinge and dangling over their heads at a sharp angle.
"Do you see our classmates?"
Bobble asked, somewhat inconveniently positioned behind Hugo's great furry shoulder. Zelie couldn't find her voice to speak. She had never seen such devastation. Her first memory of a village belonging to her kind, and it was in ruin. Houses abandoned, animals wandering in a startled panic, windows shattered and thatched roofs blackened with char, billowing gray smoke that swirled into the seething purple cloud hovering over them all.
"I don't see anyone,"
Hugo told Bobble softly.
"Gone,"
Zelie murmured. She picked her way forward across the road and beyond a toppled merchant's stall to the nearest home, where she peered into the open door and found it empty. When she closed her eyes and concentrated, it was almost as if she could hear the screams of the family as they ran.
"They're all gone."
She wandered, aghast, towards the heart of the village, feet dragging, following a trail of left-behind belongings. Baskets and blankets, weapons and apples and cloth dolls and shoes. If the villagers had been forced to flee, why not take their things? In the square, she felt the haunting cold of a place once lively and vivid, now deprived of all expected life. She could imagine dances there and festivals, harvest feast and busy market days. Now there was nothing.
"No,"
she thought, noticing a silver glimmer in the muck.
"Not nothing."
Wedged between two cobbles and nearly lost to the mud sat a bent silver cloak badge. She wiped off the mud on her own tattered cloak and inspected the design. Her heart sank to her boots. Two crossed swords with a snarling bear in the middle. She had seen just a design on Aldora Stillstrike's baldric. The others were approaching, and Zelie swiftly stood and tucked the badge into her belt, turning to face them with what she hoped was a guiltless expression. Hugo's eyes lingered on her for a long, long time.
"Find anything?"
he asked.
"No,"
she shook her head.
"It's so strange. They left everything behind."
Hugo shrugged off his satchel, letting Bobble get a good look at their surroundings. They made a soft cry of fear and fright, turned immediately into a pocket watch, then a chair, then finally a potted plant. Two leaves on the fern blinked up beyond Zelie's head, fixed on the purple cloud.
"This is fell magic. Evil. Evil magic. Something like...
Everyone waited silent.
"Like necromancy,"
Bobble whispered. Even Snobbler hissed and hid behind his shield. Monsters might not like adventurers and heroes and the like, but everyone, everyone feared and despised necromancy. Zelle had grown up with tales of necromancers hiding skeletons under her bed, undead spooks and ghouls haunting many a child's bad dreams. Tampering with death was unnatural, and while the school put up with the eccentric Professor Gast and his identity crisis, no other necromancy was tolerated or even considered. Life was life. Death was death. To meddle in such things threatened the understood order of the universe. Zelle's hands felt suddenly cold. Such things seemed so different from their lives at school. Could it really have come so near to them? Yet, what else but something truly evil would explain not only the disappearance of all the villagers, but also their classmates? A little hamlet like this would be no match for sixth-grade oozes, kobolds, or Kuo-To.
Unless it wasn't a necromancer at all, but your family that caused this disorder.
Zelle placed her hand defensively over the badge hidden beneath her belt.
What is this contraption? A mass diabolical weapon?
Snabla had leaned down and scooped up something silver and muddy. He held it up for them to see. Turning it this way and that.
It's just a fork, Zelle told him, relieved he hadn't found anything truly dangerous.
But Bobbles scoffed.
Nonsense. That's a dwarven nosepicker.
Zelle shook her head.
It's definitely a fork.
You're falling half your classes. You're failing them. Half of your classes.
Bobble reminded her.
I have perfect scores in ghostly groaning and other unsettling noises. Taking care of your hoard and how to be foul and offend. I think I know a dwarven nosepicker when I see one, thank you very much.
Right, Zelle sighed. Dwarven nosepicker, then. My mistake.
Look, something else.
Snabla hopped up and down, suddenly racing off. Footsteps. He had found a deep trail of footprints. They led through the mud and north out of the village, where the cobbles ended. Visible puddles of purple and blue goo gathered bubbling with their own heat or intensity.
Evil, Bobble whispered again, now safely inside Hugo's bag and back on his shoulder.
Even with the ominous warning, Snabla raced over to study one of the puddles and nearly swiped one claw finger through the mystery muck.
Don't touch it,
Bobble cried. Bobble is right.
It is like forging. Never, ever touch or eat what you cannot identify,
Hugo said sternly.
I can't say what magic was used here, but I know it's not something we should play with.
Bobble's ferny leaves shivered in the backpack.
Then we follow,
Snabba declared, landing the way and leading the way out of the village and toward the densely packed footprints in the mud.
Look at how many there are,
Zelle breathed.
It's like a whole village just left all together at once.
And there, Hugo added, the four of them now returning. Those there. Those are kobold tracks, Hugo added.
The four of them now returning to the familiar gloom of the woods.
Yes, my kind, our kin. We are on the right path.
Snavler ran alongside the tracks in particular, and in such a hurry that the others were forced to rush to keep up.
Are you all right?
Hugo asked. Zelly wondered if she looked as sick and afraid as she felt.
We just need to press on.
In truth, she didn't know how to answer. The badge she had found could mean anything. That the steel strikes had left with the villagers, that one of them had come and already been slain, that they had passed through on some other adventure, or that they were in fact the evil force to blame for the purple cloud and the odd puddles. It occurred to her that even if they were her blood and she truly did not know anything about them, they could be far worse than anything learning to lurk or hoard or cackle at the academy.
It was foolish to leave the school. I hope we have enough training to survive this.
She tried to take heart, even if a more sensible corner of her heart said it would be wise to turn back.
If there are kobold tracks, then that means our classmates could be alive and well.
She said,
"We could still save them."
"Aye, we could,"
Hugo agreed, smiling and cheered by that.
"Slow down, Snabla. That silly kobold is going to get into trouble if he goes off without us."
"Snabla!"
Zelly called. They had lost sight of him. The muddied tracks, less certain now, covered and concealed her and there by the wild grass and brush of the forest. The moon rose higher, clearing the purple fog above the village, but the light brought small comfort as she, Hugo, and Bobble crashed through the trees and into the clearing where Snabla had gone very still, his shield raised in defense. A single high howl cut the silence. It was a lonely call until it wasn't, until a dozen other voices all joined in, a chorus of gathering wolves. Wild creatures in the woods and caverns and mountains of Farin were not like the monsters of the academy. They had no love for anyone trespassing on their turf, orge, dwarf, kobold, or otherwise. They would fight and kill each other, and they would most certainly attack four wayward students. The first yellow eyes appeared at the edge of the clearing. Then one immense furred paw and the next claws and teeth and snouts coming next. Snabla retreated toward them, shivering, bumping into Hugo's knees and giving a sharp squeal of fright. Something small and soft tumbled into the clearing, but Zelly couldn't see quite what it was because the wolves had come in number and force, filling the space around them with gnashing fangs and tearing claws.
"Hugo!"
Zelly cried, taking the wooden sword from her back and brandishing it at the nearest beast.
"We need you! You're big enough to fight them!"
But when she glanced up at the owlbear, he had frozen, his beak parted slightly in terror. His eyes tightly against the dagger, he trembled and raised his feathered, muscled arms, but the cower only to hide his face.
"I cannot," he stammered. "Forgive me. Forgive me, I cannot draw blood."
They were surrounded, and the first wolf leapt, swiping at Snabla and knocking his shield uselessly to the ground.
"I brought them all here," Zelly thought, the sword heavier and heavier in her hands. "I brought them here, and for what? For the wolves? To perish?" Don't show the wolves your back,
Bobble yelled from inside Hugo's bag.
To me!
Zelly was already squashed up against Hugo's side, but she squashed herself harder, and so did Snabla, looking strange and forlorn without his signature shield.
What would Bobble transform into? She wondered. A bear? A trap? A tornado of terrible knives?
Hugo's bag tipped over them, Bobble toppling to the ground, transforming before they landed into a small, round, ridiculous tambourine.
Oh no, Zelly raised her sword. We're doomed.
That concludes Chapter 7 of D&D, Dungeon Academy and No Humans Allowed, written by Madeline Rue, illustrated by Tim Probert, Harper Publishing.